I am a large believer in retreats and camps. I think that there are opportunities that getting away together provide that our normal day-to-day lives just don't. Now, most of us live the normal day-to-day lives normally day-to-day, but when we have special opportunities to get away and be together, great things can happen. So not everybody can go to everything that's offered, but I actually anticipate that those three national conferences a year that the Israelites were required to attend in Jerusalem had some of that effect, as guys traveled together to the capital city, as they were together, as they encouraged one another, challenged and sharpened one another on their way to worship, and then as they returned, I think that that was a key part of their camaraderie, of their local areas being more built up. I think when Jesus took his guys away from the midst of lots of ministry opportunities, and they got special time to talk or to debrief about various things that had already happened, that those were very important times between Jesus and his disciples. So a conference like we went to about a month ago is just one extended week of life path crossing. Talked about that before. It's just opportunity to be living life together for a good purpose. It would not be quite the same if we went to the NICE conference. And if you've read that Hideous Strength, you can even appreciate that a little bit more, all half of you maybe who have done that. But just going to NICE conference about how evergreen trees are awesome. I suppose the right group of guys could still get something edifying out of that and enjoy being together. In fact, our group of guys is probably close to that, being able to chew bark and still finding something to be thankful for. But going to a conference actually gives us the opportunity, like Together for the Gospel, to hear some good things and then talk about those in the middle of building our own relationships and encouraging one another and just being together. Those relationship ties have a lasting effect beyond just that week. So tonight, we're going to get the opportunity to hear from any of those guys who went that desires to share. That'll be awesome. And as I mentioned this morning, that kind of has a twofold purpose. One is so that you can know that our guys are growing and being encouraged. Ideally, you're getting a lot of that at our life-to-life groups anyway. If you're part of those, you hear our guys growing. You wouldn't hear that at men-to-men, ladies at least, because ladies don't come and hear the guys. But this is an opportunity to hear that a lot of our guys are growing and they are thinking about their own relationship with Christ and to the church and how they can grow in both of those even more. So that's one opportunity to be encouraged that we have some guys who are desiring to grow. Obviously, guys who didn't get to go to the conference, that doesn't mean that they're not desiring to grow either. Just this is a good opportunity to hear from some of the guys in our congregation. And then secondly, to perhaps encourage some of the other guys who maybe could have gone but didn't know about it early enough, or maybe weren't able financially to go, or some other reason, to now 2 years away from the next Together for the Gospel conference. They don't do it every year, but every other year. So April 2016 is the next time. And there is nothing saying we couldn't take every guy in Trinity Evangelical Church that wanted to go. We would be quite a scary pack having our own plane. Imagine what the stewardesses would have to challenge and confront at a moment like that. I'm not sure. But even though out of the 9 guys who went, 4 of them were elders and 4 of them were current or candidate deacons, and then one other guy who was not in an office, even though that's how it worked out, that's not what it's limited to. That's not what the aim is supposed to be, that it's just recognized leaders. It is for guys who desire to be together, hear some good teaching, and then be challenged in talking about that. So I know I enjoyed, as usual, just the time to be together. It's why when a group of us used to go down to Shepherd's Conference, I even really enjoyed driving, because then that was just extra time together with those who were able to do that. You learn different things about people at 3 a.m. at a gas station in Oregon when it's cold or whatever it might be. There's different opportunities to be together, and traveling like we did. Well, we met, each of our groups met at 3:30 in two different locations in the morning. And so we were together from 3:30 a.m. Monday morning until almost midnight, probably Friday again, Pacific time. And that's eating together, walking places together, yes, listening to God's word being taught together, singing together, but just being able to enjoy those conversations and watching guys try to outgive one another, watching guys serve one another is really great. I don't know how many of you have heard the story, and I may be stealing somebody else's thunder, but the very first night of the conference, so now there were 7,000 some guys in Louisville for this conference, and walking to different places to eat, we walked to a nearby Mexican restaurant, and as we walked in, it was clear that they were not prepared to serve that influx of people. And so after about 5 minutes of wondering where our cheeps were, Chuck, our cheeps, the Lord's cheeps, Chuck got up, not because anybody like from the restaurant said, huh, that guy looks like somebody who could help. He got up and just started passing out baskets of chips and salsa to all the tables around the restaurant. And then when their chip baskets were empty, filling them up. And within half an hour of being there, he was getting their drinks, at least refilling water and sweet tea, anything that was in a pitcher. So he's now walking back into the kitchen and coming back out and delivering things all over the place. And people are asking him if they can have their check. And he said, well, that's not my part. I can't do that. But if it wasn't a full hour and a half, it was close, of the other eight guys sitting there watching Chuck walk back and forth, laughing, enjoying. And was it the owner of the restaurant who was there that night, as well as some of his staff, or was the owner not there? It was just the manager who was on. But they couldn't stop thanking Chuck for serving. So, I mean, that was an example of the kind of thing that you probably normally wouldn't get to see unless, you know, you're all out together hanging with people. And that was just one example. So for me, the time together with other people is the highlight. And getting to talk about what we hear in the messages is just something meaty to start with. Go a thousand different ways, depending on whether you hated what the guy said or how he said it, or if you loved what he said and how he said it. Either way, there's something to talk about and good things to talk about. So definitely for me, the fellowship is just, there's nothing like it during the rest of the year, even when we have meals with people and families, or we have Life Leaders meetings or things like that. It's just not quite the same. I also love singing the same song with around 7,000 people. And whereas you might anticipate at a big conference like this, they've got a large band or a rocking show. That's not actually the case at the Together for the Gospel conferences so far. It's entirely been Bob Coughlin leading by himself on one piano. So somehow they think that bringing together all of these different denominations worth of believers and generations of believers as well, somehow they think that people will actually just still sing songs to a piano without needing everything else. I mean, there's a place for other instruments. The Psalms talk about a variety of instruments we can use in praise, but hearing especially those voices is a fantastic piece. And I think really hard. If you've never been to a larger venue where people are singing, you don't quite, at least for me, get the imagination help to think about what that singing will be like in heaven, where there's going to be a lot more voices than that all singing the same song. And that's just little bits and tastes of that kind of corporate singing and enthusiasm when we all get together. So I really appreciated the fellowship. I really enjoyed the singing. There are other things probably I could say, but I'm going to give up the microphone. So guys, there's no order that's required. In fact, you're not required to talk, but if you desire to and are able, then you're invited at this point. So anyone.
Since you pulled me out. Yeah, the whole restaurant thing, it's true, and it's actually, like, I was having more fun than anybody else. So, as a segue, I wasn't actually going to talk about that, but, you know, God gifts us each uniquely. And so for potentially the rest of the eight guys at the table, that wouldn't have been so much fun, and it wouldn't have come so naturally, but I was in the restaurant business, and I was a manager and an owner. So, like, God already equipped me to do all that. So each one in this body has a different part. And I wasn't thinking, oh, I'm really helping out everybody else. I was thinking, like, God put me in this place for this exact reason right now, today. And so God has a purpose for you today, whatever that might look like. I know that I'm not going to steal anybody else's thunder with what I'm going to do, because I think I'm the only one that talked to James ahead of time. So one of the things that was really cool for me is at the front of every session, there was a video, and this is together for the gospel. And so it's, you know, I mean, it's about evangelism, but it's about the gospel. And so on the t4g.org website, you can go and see the rest of these. But I'm going to actually show you a video that James has done a whole bunch of work to actually make happen. But this is about, and there's probably, let's say, 8 or 10 of them. But this is about an older couple that were not a couple. And they're a very strange couple. And so it's strange in where they came from. And the reason that I picked this one is because each one of us has a different sphere of influence. And so the people that you run into today, I'm not going to run into today. Chances are. I mean, today maybe, because we're all here. But tomorrow, let's say, for you literalists. Some of the really fun parts for me were obviously the video. The singing is amazing. As Sean said, we pretty much recap at the end of each night, which means we stay up until 12, 1, 2, just to recap and talk about not only what we listen to, but also how it's going in, say, like our life-to-life groups, how it's going in the different ministries that we're connected to. And so that is a ton of laboring fun, like, again, connecting it back to the restaurant, the laboring fun of getting to do that. And so, James, are we ready? Okay, so here's a video, and I'll hand the mic to Jim.
When I met Bill, I had just turned 50. I myself was a new convert. I'd been baptized about 9 months before.
I was invited to this symposium on faith and reason, something I would normally not have walked across the street to see, but it just seemed like a good idea at the time. Shortly thereafter, during a break, this lovely woman came by and sat down next to me. I had the presence of mind to look at her name tag and see that she was an editor of a magazine that I knew well.
Well, it's a conservative magazine, and I thought, that doesn't compute. Harvard professor, conservative magazine, so I said, you must be strange. And that led to a lively conversation.
When I first saw her, my first thought was, this might be the one. So I composed a letter. Recognizing that she, being an editor, I'd better make it good, proposing that perhaps we might have dinner. And so we did.
I was very blunt and said, I can't get romantically involved with you or with anyone unless it's a courtship leading to marriage. And I can't marry a non-Christian, and you're clearly not a Christian.
I thought I was a Christian. And Claudia said, well, actually, no, you're not.
So that gave us a lot to talk about.
Claudia was very skillful about sharing the gospel. She wouldn't say, look, dummy, here's the gospel. Just sit down and be quiet. It wove itself into our conversation.
I assumed I must be seeming extremely clumsy and blunt and abrupt, and that this would be a big turnoff and he'd disappear. But he didn't. There was a turning point that I remember when we were talking about sin. I said, does sin interest you as an intellectual matter or in connection with your own life? And he said, very convincingly, in connection with my own life. So there were several turning points like that along the way.
I had the opportunity to come to Claudia's church for the first time, and I saw something there I'd never seen before. There's a large congregation full of people that plainly, clearly knew and loved each other. This ultimately resulted in an opportunity to meet with the pastor, who quite understandably wanted to know just what it was that I was doing with his congregant. I explained that we disagreed about whether I was a Christian. The pastor listened patiently and finally said, well, I regret to inform you that Claudia's right, you're not a Christian. To which I replied, well, okay, what do I do about that? And all of a sudden, a lot of what Claudia was saying fell into place. So I ultimately was baptized and joined the church.
Bill and I met in November 1998, and he was baptized in August 2004, and we were married in June 2005.
And have lived happily ever after. My name is Bill. I'm a Christian today because someone brought the gospel to me. Be unashamed.
Each session that we had started with a similar clip, a story of somebody, how they got saved. Those are pretty powerful. I have to say for me that the highlight of the time was a lot of the in-between times. The sessions themselves were awesome. I mean, how can you not be excited to be in a room with 7,000 other people all singing praises? Obviously, we had some really top-notch speakers, all the big names that we're familiar with. Very good sessions. But those in-between times out on the streets, walking around, I mean, just going back to the story of Chuck running around in the restaurant, it was really exciting to me because it really represented a major theme that we keep emphasizing here at Trinity, where the principle of dying to self for the sake of bringing life. Now, Chuck was actually having fun, but technically it was serving also. He gave up, you know, his dinner and was running around. But the effect that it had on the employees and even, frankly, the whole restaurant, by the time it was all over, everybody in the restaurant was aware of what was going on, and you just everybody had a smile on their face. The employees were very super grateful. I mean, the manager actually came over and insisted on knocking our check way down just to say thank you, because Chuck refused to accept any tips. But it was just the impact on the lives. Another situation we had was we were one day, there was a break in the afternoon, and we were walking down along the waterfront. It's right there in Louisville, right along the Ohio River. And we were just walking along and just taking pictures. And all of a sudden, this lady came up to us, and she had a plastic cup of something she was drinking. And she goes, "You guys aren't from here, are you?" And we said, "No, you know what gave us away." But anyhow, as we started talking, we knew what she was drinking, and it was making her a little tipsy. But she really got to talking, asking us a lot of questions, and really wanted to debate us. She grew up in the church. Her dad was apparently still very involved in the church, but she had become more enlightened as she got older and wiser. And basically for, I don't know, probably about 20, 30 minutes, we had an opportunity to walk with her along this boardwalk and just sharing the gospel, asking her some questions, challenging her thinking. Her name was Patty. Don't know, what impact it'll have. She didn't get saved at that moment in time. But it was just a neat opportunity. She saw something different about us in God, a divine appointment. Who knows what God will do with that. But that was kind of special. And I personally have been continuing to remember to pray for her periodically, that somehow through her haze that God will have gotten the word into her heart. Some other special times were just even in those late evenings, having those sessions. We had a couple of rooms that adjoined where we could open the door, and typically about 11, 12 o'clock, we'd get together and just start asking, "So what did you think about today's session? What did you like? What didn't you like?" One evening, I know one of the guys had been struggling with something going on that week, some difficult situations, and he was just feeling kind of a little stressed out, and so several of us just went down to the hotel lounge and stayed up to like 1 in the morning just talking and encouraging one another. That was pretty special. On the way home, we got the call, that Dan got the call about Tanner. In that situation, we're in the Denver airport, and so we all gather around and just had a time of prayer, praying for Dan and his family. Again, just a special bonding time. So just lots of opportunities. I mean, starting with the trek in the morning, 3:30, getting together, heading down there. We flew into Nashville to save some money, so we had a three-hour drive up to Louisville. It's 3 hours in the car, Chuck and Dave trying to convert me into a libertarian. but, really good conversation. lots of just good memories and good conversations. So all in all, just really stitching our lives and our hearts together. And just many, many more stories I could tell going on, but I don't want to steal other people's thunder. So who wants to go next? Ron?
Well, it was just a great time of fellowship. And like Jim said, and Chuck, just I did not get to be at the evening at the Mexican restaurant to watch Chuck run around, because I had this great idea that I was going to buy a meal ticket. And so I get to fellowship with all these other men, and there was barely anything I could eat. So I went once to the meal ticket. but I got to sit down with a bunch of people. Just that one time that I did go, I got to sit down with a man from Nashville that was there totally by himself and just struggling with a lot of stuff. But so encouraged that he comes to this conference and goes to a couple others every year. And it was just exciting to see what these conferences of together for the gospel mean to these men and women that come. I met a husband and a wife that he was a teacher, and this is all he ever wanted to do was be a teacher in a classical Christian school. He was a teacher at Jonathan Edwards Classical Christian School Academy in Nashville, Tennessee. And it was great to sit down and just see his excitement. And we're doing the same thing. And so we're both getting excited about what goes on in classical school and what our kids are doing and what they're learning. And I learned that they went from 16 students their first year, and they've been in there for 5 years now, and they now have 66 students. And it's exciting to see what the Lord is doing through the classical Christian school on the other side of our country. Incredible encouragement of just being together with all the guys. With the elders, deacons, and Ryan, the question asker, who asked questions. And we had a great time. I appreciate the questions. What's your favorite sermon? Why? What are you going through? What can we pray for? Just a great time of being together and the encouragement that comes out of just hanging out and not having an agenda to go through. And the sermons, like Jim said, the sermons were great. And incredibly encouraging in that, too. My favorite one was probably, there was quite a few good ones, but Ligon Duncan, where he went from the Old Testament, Numbers chapter 5, and talked about the unclean and those who were cast out of the camp for discharge, for uncleanness, for leprosy, and contact with the dead, and then going over to the New Testament in Luke, where he talks about these people could not be cleansed, that were pushed out, that were released from the camp. But going over to Luke, where he talks about the woman with the discharge of blood, and what Christ has done through the gospel, through his, nobody can make themselves clean again to come back. But it is Christ who this woman touched. And she said, and everyone would say, don't touch him, you'll make him unclean. But Christ is the only one who can make clean. And that hit home, as well as David Platt's sermon, who's, he's kind of an emotional guy if you ever watched him, seen him, heard him. but his point was prayer changes things. And how Moses prayed and God relented. God not didn't change his mind, but God relented. It was a great time to take all those things and like and talk about them afterwards as we're walking, as we're just sitting down to eat, and just a great time. Also, books. We had to send our books back, and no way do we have time to read them all. But just great books that they gave us, and then a bookstore with huge discounts on books, and it was just that was really encouraging, and to walk through and be standing next to somebody, and I went to the children's section first because last time I went to the children's section they were all out of the ones that I really wanted, and just people saying, oh, this is a great one. Oh, have you seen this one? And people I don't even know, and just the encouragement of that, and then also sending the Bibles off to where do we send them to? Liberia. I knew it was somewhere Africa-ish. Liberia. And just the encouragement of that, it was a lot of fun. So just a blast. Next.
Books. So I like props, so I thought I'd bring my books up. And all that was free. But the exciting thing about it was these were awesome. I've already read two of them. It's probably going to take me the next 2 years to read the rest of them, especially that thick one that's over here. From Heaven He Came and Sought Her. I don't even know. It's forward by J.I. Packer. It's just amazing. Looks like an amazing book. But lots and lots and lots of material to remember our time. So the books were great. I also have this little memento, little red wristband. So this is a little joke behind this. Before we went, we got some emails that said, if you don't have one of these with you, you can't get into the event. And so I was sending emails out. I sent to Sean especially. I said, Sean, don't forget this. And what does he do? He writes back and said, I'm afraid. I'm not sure if I'm going to remember it. He did. We all somebody went, Chuck. You were late getting in, so you didn't have one, so you had to go and get it. Anyway, so these were a little memento. I got some notes. That 3:30 Monday morning trip was amazing. For me, I've been doing a lot of traveling lately, so getting up at that bad hour of the day is kind of normal. But I wanted to give a shout-out to Jolie and her sister Christy Garvin. And who else did Gail? Did Gail, the other driver, Gail Light? I mean, that was incredible. What a service they did. They took all nine of us down there in two vehicles, packed all our suitcases, all our luggage, headed down there at that hour of the morning, dropped us all off. We went off, and they all drove home. I don't know what they did the rest of the day. Maybe slept. But no, that was great. I mean, I want to just thank you guys for that. It was awesome. But another thing that stood out, and we've already heard a little bit about, it was at the Yum Center in Louisville, Kentucky, every 2 years. Ligon Duncan, Al Mohler, John Piper, John MacArthur, Matt Chandler, David Platt, and I'm going to miss a few others. But there's like 8 or 9 or 10 different, just amazing speakers. And we listened to them all. These videos, these little vignettes of the gospel being shared with people was just phenomenal. Really heart-wrenching to know that, God is really doing amazing things around the world. And so I think we're going to another one be shown here in a few minutes. But when you stand up in the audience, when you sit up in the audience, this big Yum Center, it's a big stadium-type place, and you're up there on top of the crowd, and you just see this sea of faces down there. You can barely see Bob Coughlin down there and his piano right in the middle, but just standing up, 7,000 guys singing, pouring their hearts out. It's amazing. During the breaks, one of the things that really stood out, you got all these guys. It's kind of a pastor leader conferences. That's how it was promoted. But in the middle of this, during one of the breaks, I happened to spot Bob down there, and he was actually praying. He kind of came. Somebody came up to him, talked to him. They spent quite a bit of time talking, and they just started praying right there. He was just giving him a big hug, and then a whole bunch of other guys came around, gave him a hug. Heard some noise like, "Oh Lord, just help, help!" And it was just amazing to see the men get together and just pour their heart out for this one guy. And I'm sure it was happening all sorts of other places, but it was just a heartwarming time when we were there. The greatest memory of the event. Jim mentioned my nephew Tanner, and there were some other things during the week, but I had a lot of, it was a difficult week for me, culminating with my nephew's overdose and passing away. But it was just amazing to be with these guys. These guys that, we've been together before, but just having the opportunity to rub shoulders, sharing life stories, just reflecting on what we learned, what we heard that day, having opportunity to pray for each other. I mean, these guys prayed for me, and it was just comforting to know that I had 8 other guys. You know, even if I wasn't there, I knew they were praying for me at the time, and it just was very I was blessed during the time. One last that I did hear afterwards, and also even as early as today, that we need to make sure that you guys know about this and keep that on your radar for 2 years from now. So I think it's April 12th through the 16th of 2016. So it's in the middle of the week. But what I've done, I put a calendar reminder on my phone for this day next year. And I'm going to push, poke, prod, scream at the top of my lungs, whatever I need to do to make sure that this is broadcast to everybody from the pulpit, from everywhere, so that you guys that are interested interested in going again would like to just experience the fun, the excitement, the joy, the gospel learning, all the stuff that went on. I want to make sure that you guys know about it. So I'm going to make sure that this is here, that I get to Sean at least every other day during that time to remind you. All right? It's a great time, and you've got to think about whether it's something that you want to go to, whether the Lord's leading you that way. Just a fun time of fellowship, fun time of learning, and everything. So, all right.
Thanks, Dan. Well, this is kind of out of my comfort zone. I'm usually behind the camera, not in front of it. So... So I wrote up my things that I wanted to share. T4G is an opportunity to gather as the body of Christ in a bigger way than our local body. And this was already mentioned, that there's 7,000 men together in one place singing and worshiping together. T4G is a time of corporate worship unrivaled here on earth. And Sean mentioned that as well. It's an amazing experience to sing and lift our voices to God as a group. Like that. There's no other place that you can do that I'm aware of. T4G is 9 different speakers preaching from the same inerrant book. To hear these varied preaching styles makes me appreciate anew the gift God has given us in Sean's weekly preaching to us. T4G is a time for being challenged in your personal walk. I have come away with a renewed sense of calling to the gospel walk and message. T4G is a chance to meet new brothers in Christ and to share our common faith while learning about our diversity. We met some friends from, now friends from another church in Georgia, and it's amazing how we could just start talking about common things that we have in our church, and even though we didn't know them. And that happened in the Mexican restaurant while Chuck was running around. So that, we met them there. That was awesome. T4G is a way for our own men to grow closer together through fellowship in close quarters. And some people did have a lot of close quarters with more than two in the room. So that was something. T4G is a chance for Chuck to show off his waiting skills, and I'm glad, Sean, you did the story because I couldn't tell it as well as you did. So I'll skip that whole paragraph. And T4G, and this is why we have the screen up still, T4G was also a chance for our local congregation to participate in a global outreach service opportunity called Pack the Pallet. And the deacons decided there to purchase 100 Bibles of the 6,000 to go to pastors in Liberia. And I'd like to show you this short video that's produced by T4G that explains the impact that this gift has.
We've got something special we're trying to do through this conference called Pack a Pallet. We're partnering with Crossway, the publisher of the ESV, to get Bibles where they're needed. So our goal is to donate 6,000 ESV Global Study Bibles to pastors in Liberia.
There are pastors in towns and villages. I mean, I'll be honest with you, some of them have never even seen a Bible. Together for the gospel, this is the true meaning, that we come together as Christians, and for the sake of the gospel, we can take some of what we have and give it back to some of our brothers and sisters who don't have nothing. Give them the gospel. When I saw people from all over giving more Bibles yesterday after the first session in the morning, and then in the evening when I came and I saw the pallet filled with social Bibles and new people bringing in cartoons of Bibles and young men and older men coming in contributing Bibles, I just want a quiet place to just sit down and tell God thank you.
Well, for our T4G, I mean, it was really tight. I enjoyed the whole thing. The best part was really being able to rub shoulders with the men of our church, and that's the only reason why I would encourage everyone to go next time around if you're a man and to save up for that. From the late night talks, just with each of them and sharing life, it was an experience that I am thankful for. The bookstore was glorious in itself, so... The bookstore was really glorious. I enjoyed going in there. I wish I had just one session to go in there and see all the books. In terms of like what I took away from it was just my affections for, you know, the Lord and His gospel, and just how Duncan had taught, like, you know, He can make the worst sinner clean, and you know, sinners need a Savior, and Jesus is that Savior. And you know, the one of the things that really stood out was, I think it was the first session, you know, they had everyone stand up and kind of asked a few questions, and you know, it's kind of like, how did you come to know the Lord? And I think out of the one that they said heard a sermon, like me and 1% of them sat down. But what really amazed me was that when he had asked how many people were impacted by the gospel through a relationship, I'd imagine at least 80% of the people sat down. And it really just made me think more about my own relationships with the people that I rub shoulders with, and God has given us a great opportunity to be able to build those relationships, to influence people, and to bring the gospel. So my desire is to continue to pursue the relationships that I have, especially with non-believers or people that know the Lord, and just how I can help encourage people to get out there and build those relationships and to bring the gospel to people who do not know the Lord, because that is their only hope. A few of my quotes that I liked, one was from David Platt. He in his sermon, he talked about how, while the plans of God are unchanging, his plan is unfolding before for man. So I was encouraged by that, for the fact that, I have no idea what God's plans are, but I want to be able to take bigger gospel risks in my own life and with my own family, and not be afraid, and knowing that the Lord is sovereign and that it'll all work out in his unfolding plan. So that was cool. And the other one was just mainly Duncan just talking about how, Jesus knows what to do with those that he saves. So we need not fear about what's going to happen to this person or how are they going to grow, but that, if Jesus saves them, he knows what to do with them and how to deal with them. So that for me, sometimes I worry about what's going to happen to them, and but now I can, I was encouraged to just trust the Lord more in my own walk, and as I go out and make disciples, and just to love my neighbors. I mean, one of the reasons why I'm really passionate about getting up into Marysville is because of the gospel. I want to live in a community that I go to church, and it seems like the Lord is going to allow that. Still praying for it, that we can move up here and live in this community. And then someday my big dream would be to have a store that I can work and go to church here and impact this community. And just the relationships are important in evangelism. We have God's word and prayer, like Kevin DeYoung had said, so we just need to be pursuing those people that God, those path crossings that God brings those people into our world, however that is, and that we are faithful to go after them with the gospel and not be afraid, but that God would save his people through us going out and wanting to see his name praised and glorified. And then just the brothers from, I think it's Flintwood Baptist Church, we were able to meet with them one night, went out for pizza for like 4 hours, and one of the night before we were able to go out and smoke some cigars and talk ministry, and overall it was a great time. I mean, if you didn't make it out this time, I would encourage you to save up and come out to the next one. But thank you.
I have kind of a different take on these things. Having been part of a lot of the pastors' conferences at Grace Community in the 90s, and then coming up here and coming back for a couple of them from being up here, and then going, 2 years ago now, to the first of the T4Gs we went to, you kind of get, I have gotten somewhat jaded, because when you get the big names, they always have their candy stick sermons that they've rehearsed. You know they're giving you something that they'll really rock your socks with and all of that. And so it's not really what they're saying so much as the people that come and congregate together for the gospel. That part is just, you can't take that away, the combination of the people coming, the meeting of new people. And the same thing happens at Shepherd's conferences. A lot of guys come because they feel their church doesn't understand them and they can get together with other pastors and that kind of thing. The thing that I've realized over the years is that pastors that feel that way have isolated themselves. They have not gotten together with their congregation. They aren't part of the congregation. They really aren't shepherding the sheep and living with them. They kind of operate in a different stratosphere. And I thought it was fascinating to watch the churches, at least like this church we met, is very similar to us. They came out of a mega church and decided they wanted to move in the direction like we're doing. And just the way that they related to each other showed that that was their whole response. It wasn't staff and lay people going to the thing, and the staff go off to their room, and the lay people go off to their room. That's how a lot of congregations like this operate. And for us all to be together to assess what was going on, I thought was really great. As far as the videos, that one with the older people was my favorite also. And there was another one that if you get on the website, you can see. And it's kind of a streetwise guy talking to one of his friends about the gospel. And it doesn't end at this point where the guy gets saved, but he is unashamed of the gospel and not going to give up on his friend. And I thought that really speaks to the issue. And like Ryan said, I think one of the great things that Ryan really saw is everything is relationship. And that whole question of when you came to the Lord, how did you come? And when, you know, he said through a relationship with somebody else, he's right, about 80% of the people sat down. So all the rest are kind of, you know, not that big a deal in the scale of things. So it is the life-on-life discipleship that brings people to him. As far as the sermons, I thought, without a shadow of a doubt, Johnny Mack won with his. And he started it off with a mini biography talking about he came and grew up in the 50s and 60s where evangelism was the Billy Graham Crusades or rank decisionism of the Baptist Church. His dad was a Baptist pastor in Eagle Rock. Give the invitation, the people come. And then he started telling stories of all the guys that were in his youth group that are no longer Christians, the people when he was at Azusa Pacific that were the star students that are no longer Christians, and then his classmates at Talbot, who some of those are no longer Christians. And then his whole sermon was, he's coming to a gospel conference to say that his main mission is to preach to people in the church that aren't saved. And I thought that was interesting. And he was the second to last speaker. So here's a guy that his whole thing is speaking to people in the church that aren't saved. And then Piper gets up and does a sermon on evangelism from Romans 9. Now that takes, you know, that's socking it to you. And in Piper style, he really did that. And the best thing that happens is the relationships with the people, seeing other people you've known for, you know, in other times and getting to see how they're doing and stuff. But it's mainly you just grow with the people you go with in a whole different way than you do at church stuff or playing golf or whatever. You know, you room together, you travel together, you get burned out, you get tired, so you start hearing what the guy really thinks about this or that instead of, you know, oh, this is just wonderful and isn't this great? Because I think a lot of the things were kind of stupid. They had some panels that, you know, they're talking about, you know, going to conferences. Kevin DeYoung, I thought, was really an interesting, and he had Dever and I think Moeller was on it, some other people. But anyway, they were talking about being part of a denomination and how DeYoung has been fighting over and over the battle of women pastors and everything in his denomination. And the people on the panel just looked at him and said, stop fighting. Don't do that. You're wasting your time. But he still feels the need to keep fighting it and the uphill battle that a lot of these guys are fighting because they're trying to change a whole denomination that just has gone south. And so it's interesting to see all those things come together, but mainly the building of the life on life with the guys that go, and then the idea to see the relationships and watch other people. I mean, it's like you watch Coughlin or whatever Tim was saying, that he prays with the people. And I always like watching these conferences to see who the guy is that'll stand and speak with a lot of different people. And over the years, I've watched John MacArthur as kind of removed and a bigwig as he is, and he runs a mega church and everything. But if you ever have the chance, if you visit Grace Community Church, watch him up front. and just sit in the pew and listen to him answer each individual's question patiently, even if they're wacky kind of questions, he engages at least about the sermon that he preached that way. And I think that we can be encouraged that our whole congregation is trying to relate to each other that way, and we're doing that in a way that's really exciting. And I think that that really will eventually wear down the community and cause them to ask those questions. I mean, I can't believe that the Reeves neighbor watching what was going on weren't saying, who are those people? And other things that we do and so forth. So I think it's a great thing to go to, and it has a lot of different things, but it's mainly it's to get to know the people you go with, even though you already know them. You know them on a different level. So,
yeah, I don't really have a whole ton to add experientially beyond what others have already said. I would say that in terms of the conference proper, so the speakers, the one breakout session and the panels, those are all very helpful, very deliberately selected, the topics of the panels, and even I think the direction that the speakers are given when they're trying to narrow their focus for their different messages and so on. So that is all very helpful, and I probably appreciated most the message by Ligon Duncan that's already been mentioned a couple of times. I appreciated the content of David Platt's message, and his was an encouragement to prayer. And he cataloged in multiple places the different things that happened in coordination with the saints praying. So these different movements of God, different times when he would move and act that happened to coincide almost coincidentally with people praying. And we know without doubt or question that God uses the prayers of his saints to bring about his will. He ordains even their prayers, and so the charge and the encouragement to pray goes forth clearly, strongly. Overall, I've been to a handful of conferences, and the effect is usually similar. There's only a couple of things that I really come away with or that really stick out or are lasting, but the composite effect is really beneficial. That is, if we believe that the brain is not just a tube to be filled up, to be filled with information, but is more a muscle to be exercised, and as the heart is, then we're always being shaped by the things that we read and the things that we hear and the experiences that we enjoy. And so going to get to together for the gospel and being a part of that, the singing, which is, you know, I'm a music guy, that's always a huge highlight for me. I love that in the pamphlet they give in four-part harmony, like hymn sheets, for all of the music. So when you're learning a new song, you can learn the parts, and I'm always thinking, the program that's always running back in my mind is, you know, for our purposes. So the music, the teaching, all of that is awesome, but overall it has a sort of shotgun blast sanctifying effect on me. So for this trip in particular, I would also echo the sentiment that the best part was just spending time with the guys, just getting to hang out. The late night post session sessions where we would very casually, you know, the way Jim pitched it, it sounds like it was a scheduled formal thing. All right, gentlemen, the time has come. Hope your answers are ready. It you know, maybe Ryan was thinking of a question all day long, but it really was casual and fun. And this year versus last time, we had the added benefit of having four rooms that were in immediate proximity. Two were adjoining, and the other two were adjoining as well, but they were not separated by the door that can go in between. So we got to be together a lot versus last time we had some other guys in a different state. That's literally true. They were across the Ohio River to the north. Okay, anyway, so we got to spend a lot of time together, and I really, really, really enjoyed hearing Chuck laugh at Ryan. He did that a lot. And that Ryan was like a kid in a candy store because he was the only one who actually hadn't been before, and he enjoyed it as much as we thought that he would, but he was himself no short supply of entertainment for the rest of us. We're driving along on the 3-hour trip, which I think we have to do that again just to be in close quarters. And Chuck asked Ryan what he's thinking because he's kind of staring blankly out the window. I'm just thinking about what's inside those trucks. They're going by. And then we, you know, surmised that Ryan would be great at the truck stop. But then he very profoundly observed, yeah, there's something in them or they're empty. And that's only hilarious because he's not trying to be hilarious. And so like Chuck is wheezing in the front seat. You know, and you know, as Chuck is prone to do, so he'd milk that one for all it was worth and resurrect a half an hour. Hey Ryan, what do you think isn't in that truck? Yeah. Yeah, as was already mentioned, some highlights. Jim's very clear and strong pursuit of the heart and mind and the intellect of Patty in her inebriated state. I didn't tell you this afterwards, but I was tremendously encouraged by the way that you responded, you know, quickly and sharply, and also winsomely and graciously to every one of her objections and concerns. But his heart came out in that. That was awesome. Really, as has been mentioned, getting to interact with some new friends from Flint River Bible Fellowship is the name of the church in Albany, Georgia. They're tiny. And just to have hearts knit together immediately in like-mindedness, it really was a lot of fun. Just to see that is one of the sweet things about Together for the Gospel is that one of the things that we're growing in is our we're growing in our own I guess giving ourselves permission to be excited about what God is doing in other corners of Christ's universe, and versus being so frightened that other people don't think like us. There are lots of people who think like us, and even those who don't, well, appropriately reflect the diversity that is in the church. And so it's awesome to be free to be excited about God moving mightily in a congregation of 40 people in Albany, Georgia, with five elders that are trying their best to do it right, and they don't want to be big because they've got their hands full with their congregation, and they know why they do what they do. And so we were able to encourage them. They were able to encourage us, and that's just one of hundreds and hundreds of churches that were represented there. So I'm very much looking forward to 2016. Hopefully we can take more guys. I think it's been calculated. I think Dan might have calculated. If you squirrel away $40 a month between now and, you know, 2016, well, I guess maybe it was Jim. Jim does these things. Then you can very easily knock it out. So I would encourage you men to be thinking along those lines. I'll hand the mic over to Sean to wrap it up. All right. Or I'll pray. All right, so let's pray together then. Father, you are kind to us, and tonight we've been able to see several of those ways from the privileged position that we enjoy monetarily to think about the pastors in Liberia and West Africa, that the pastors who don't have Bibles is sobering when I can turn mine on at the flick of a switch and then go retrieve paper copies of plenty from my office. And that's just one of the many, many ways that you have privileged us. And with those privileges come certain consequences and dangers as well. Would you please guard us from those? Please grow us in our own excitement of what you are doing in the corners of your universe. Please help us to grow in our appreciation of and our love for involvement in the various spheres where you exercise your lordship, and that is everywhere. Thank you for the guys who were able to go. Thank you for the work that your Spirit did among us. Thank you for the many who prayed for us for safe travel and other prayers related to our own hearts being impacted. And even as was our prayer on the trip and even my prayer before, we would ask that you would please allow this congregation to benefit from what those nine guys enjoyed and learned at Together for the Gospel this year. We pray that this would have been a day where your name was rightly honored in this place, and we ask that now as we get ready to go into the workplace, that the merry-go-round, as it were, would be spinning rapidly, and we would be excited to be used by you in this community and beyond. Keep us in your care as we go home now, and we pray this in Christ's name. Amen.